Well, tonight we're going to have an overview of the book of Revelation. We finished it last week. And I'd like to ask, let's see, who all's here tonight? Yeah, we're in good shape. I'd like to ask, how many's ever been to a Revelation seminar? Okay. In one sentence, share with me what the theme was. If you had to get concise everything down to one sentence, you that went to a Revelation seminar, what did you walk out? Who would like to volunteer?
Scary.
Huh?
Scary.
Scary, okay.
Well,
that's one word.
Okay. Is they brought those great big beasts and put them up. So
okay, all right. Who else? Yes, parents.
Let me see if I'm clear what a Revelation seminar is. Is that like the net series? Was that considered a Revelation seminar?
Yes. Yeah. Anything on the Revelation in a seminar or a Bible study or whatever one would like to label it.
In one sentence, I can say, that's what kind of got me going through all those things, was that whole thing. I can say I came up enlightened.
Okay, enlightened. Very good. What other? Who else? How about somebody from the King family?
Well, the seminar we attended was actually on CDs, John Pauline's seminar.
Okay.
And my one sentence is, until I heard that seminar, I agreed with Martin Luther, we're going to keep Revelation out of the Bible because nobody can understand it.
Okay.
Now, I think maybe we can.
So you're coming from a little bit different viewpoint than a lot. Who else?
Well, a lot of people have been brought in by those seminars. I know people that have been brought in by them. But I got out of it was the beast. I mean, we spent so much time on the beast.
Armageddon. Okay. Right. All right. Statistically, people just kind of pass through that come through those seminars.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of lucky people.
So, pardon?
Well, the Adventist Church has picked up some kind of nutcases through those things, I think.
Okay.
I purposely stayed away from them.
Okay. All right. So,
present company excluded.
Yes. Okay. We got some scary beasts. We got beasts.
I know people that were just fine that came and stayed.
Yes.
Properties for one.
Yeah. No.
They came in through.
You know, every statement I said statistically. Yeah. That's doesn't mean there's exception. What I'm not hearing outside of Mr. King, which I know exactly what he's saying. What I'm not hearing mostly is a whole lot of positive. Enlightenment can be positive or negative. So I hear scary or somebody says I wouldn't even attend them. Why? This is a book for the time of the end. That's what it says. This is a book that's supposed to be positive. This is a book that's supposed to be happy. And I don't hear a lot of happy.
It's because we're just now learning it. In the old days, it was not a happy book.
Okay. Well, define old days. I mean...
Well, years ago. How many years ago?
The book is a book. Oh yes.
Edwards raised my hand for me. But I remember from a child with a book of Revelation, and I heard some pretty nice sermons about heaven.
Okay.
What heaven was like.
Certainly in there, isn't it? Absolutely. So, Revelation is a book of contrast. As we went through this over the last 4 or 5 months, however long it's been, is that it's a book of contrast. You have God's people, and you have the people that are against God. You have God's mark, Very definitely. Most of the time when we talk about the book of the seminars, we hear more about the mark of the beast than we hear about the mark of God. Well, the mark of God is very definitely defined in the book of Revelation. You have choices. Over and over, the book of Revelation says, whatever you choose, that's what you're going to reap. Well, I think this is kind of a Christ teaching. The book absolutely is full of quotations from the Old Testament. Did you all, as those that come on a kind of a regular basis, did you see that over and over and over? We usually only use two or three texts a night because we didn't want to get bored, per se. But it's full of quotations from the Old Testament. So I think there has to be more to this book than something that we tend to not want to go to. And I certainly understand what Mrs. Doss is saying. Something that comes out where we remember the beast or Armageddon has to be something more to this book than I think what we've received over the past few years. So, had to thinking on what I wanted to do tonight, I decided to let's look at some key texts. Now, surprisingly, if I asked for a key text from the book of Revelation, what normally would I get? Revelation 14. Is it there? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the message. I'm not too sure we've interpreted it correctly, but that's what we would say is the key text. So tonight I want to look at what I consider some of the key text in this book. And if we sat down and ever put together a syllabus of the book of Revelation, I would like for it to perhaps be a little bit different than some of the things that we've seen. So, who has the first text, which is Revelation 1, 1 to 3? Let's all look it up. Give us a few seconds. Revelation 1, 1 to 3. All right, let's hit it.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near.
Okay. My estimation, this is the most important text in the book. Why?
Because it states that it's going to reveal Christ.
Okay. Why is that important?
Because it says for the time is near when all these things will happen.
Okay. Why is it important to reveal Christ?
Well, it becomes hard to see Christ when the things that this book talks about happen and we want to realize that Christ is still there.
Okay. We're going to look at some texts that go all the way through. Why is it important that this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ? Leroy.
Well, I think the first statement it tells us pretty well. It says, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to give to us.
Okay.
Now that's very important. We got a message direct from God that becomes very important. We pay attention and listen to it.
Okay. Why is that important?
Well, so that we can, before we make our choice, we need to be clear on what it is we're choosing.
Okay. What other message is there? Yes.
And Jesus came to reveal the character of God.
Absolutely. What other message is there to than to reveal God to people? Would one like to name me another message? So, when you sit down and read a book, and the first sentence of the book says, this book is about, and then you can fill in the blanks, why in the world would you take the next 22 chapters and try to get anything else out of it but the central message that the book says this is what it's all about? And I think that you realize that most denominations skip this book. And you're exactly right. Martin Luther said, man, what a waste of time. Zwingli said the same thing. What a waste of time. Doesn't even belong. The book is about Christ. It is not about a mark. It is not about judgment. It is not about 144,000 and who in the world are they. It's not about the Armageddon. Is it going to be fought? Where is it going to be fought? How is it going to be fought? We can go back through Adventist times and we can see where every time a war came about, it was the perfect place for Armageddon to take place. The book is about God. And hopefully, as we've gone through this book in the past few months, we begin to realize that this book reveals God, reveals His character, reveals who He is, and that's the dominant thing. Now, are there beasts in it? Absolutely. Is there bad news in the book? Absolutely. Is there judgment in the book? Absolutely. But the theme of the book is God pointing out that if you choose to have a relationship and go this way, this is what's going to happen. And man, that's good news. If you choose not to have a relationship and go this way, this is what's going to happen. But is that bad news?
No. That's exactly what happened in heaven.
Do we do that with our children? Do we say, if you want to go to school and you study and make good grades, this is what's going to happen. And if you want to go to school and you don't study and you get bad grades, this is most likely what are going to happen. Don't we do the same thing in life? We present both sides of the picture so that they can make good decisions. And that's all Revelation is doing. Is pointing out, follow me, choose not to. So I think the basis of the book, right from the very beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who has Revelation 5, 11 to 13? Is there any other good news in this book? Let's all, let's turn up, give us a chance to turn to it, Eloise. Thanks. Okay, 5, 11 to 13.
Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless, thousands plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, the Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I heard every creature in heaven on earth, under the earth and on the sea and everything in them say, blessed and honor and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever.
Okay. Who are these people? Who are these people?
Talking about the God's people, the ones that
were
saved.
Yeah.
The angels.
Angels? Who else is going to be there?
Redeemed.
We are. Yeah. These are quotations from the Old Testament, but we are going to be there. And how many did it say is going to be there? What was that number?
Countless thousands plus thousands of
thousands. Countless. Thousands and thousands and thousands.
This doesn't even give a number. It's just so many. Myriads and...
Mm-hmm. See, what do we tend to emphasize? Oh, just a few. Just a few. The remnant. Just a few. Can't even count them that's going to be there. Again, the book is full of good news. That we are going to be able to set and be around the throne and sing these songs of victory. Everybody turn to Revelation 7. And we're going to look at 14 to the end. And I'm going to read that because I like this passage. And he said, there are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not heat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will lead them in springs of living water, and God Himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This book was written for the Christians who were under terrible persecution from Rome. And they firmly believed that Christ would come in their time. Now we have the privilege of taking the prophecies and then putting them to our day. And we believe that persecution is going to come upon us. But it makes no difference where you're at in Earth's history. Have any of you all been under persecution? Trials, tribulations, whatever words you want to look at it? I think we all go through tribulations in our personal life. There's ups and there's the downs. Forever, I'm a firm believer, for every valley there's a mountaintop. For every mountaintop there's a valley. What's the good news in this passage? No matter what the tribulation, no matter what the problem in your life, no matter what the trials in your life, the ending is assured. We will be around the throne. We will sing. And what's the most beautiful part of this book? What will God do? Will come and wipe away the tears from our eyes. The Greek makes it very personal. God Himself. Is that good news? It's not about the beasts. It's not about a mark. It's not about if you don't do this, bad things. It's full of good news all the way through the book. We win. It's that simple. We win. We know exactly what the ending is. We know exactly how it's going to end, where we're going to be, and what happens. we win. It's just like playing a basketball game. You might be behind in the third quarter, but if you know how the game ends and you win, just hang on. You know the ending. And I think this book tells us over and over what the ending is. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Let's turn to it.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true.
Okay. Now, throughout the book, in fact, throughout the Bible, whenever the book Bible says, write this down, how would you interpret that? Absolutely important. Remember when we took tests at school? Man, I wish somebody would have told me that when the teacher says, remember this, you might see it again, exactly what that meant, you know. I wish somebody would have clued me in a little bit earlier. See? It's what this book is saying. Write this down. This is what was the word your version has? Last verse.
And he who sits on the throne, behold, I'm making all things new. Write, for these words are faithful and true.
Faithful. Mine says trustworthy. These are trustworthy. Write this down. No matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, no matter what happens to you physically, no matter what is going on, write this down. All things will be made new. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness. And again, what will God personally do?
Wipe away your tears.
Don't you start to get the picture? God cares. This is an individual relationship. I don't believe for a second that God will just wave his hand and everything will just be fine. I think it's an individual, personal thing. Yes?
Things grow but never die. Won't we get overrun with stuff?
Sue likes gardening. Have no idea. I think that we have no concept of what heaven will be like. Zero. I don't think we let our imagination run wild enough. We talk about, you know, I mean, what, you know, how can you compare?
Well, the only thing we can compare it to is what we've seen on earth.
Yes, see, that has no comparison. What will we do? What will we, you know, will we play baseball? I don't know. All I know is a lady one time I was a teen, I was young, teaching Sabbath school. I've told this story over and over, but I like it, so I'll tell it again. I was young in one of the churches right over here, and she says that, talking about heaven, and she says, well, do you think there'll be water skiing in heaven? I said, I have no earthly idea. And she says, well, if there's no water skiing in heaven, I don't want to be there. And I said, well, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I mean, if your motivation for going to heaven is to water ski all the time, I don't think you're going to be there, see? So we have no concept of heaven. But God will be there, and that's our only motivation for wanting to be there, is that He is there. And He says, I'll make everything new. Whatever happens. One of the things that we come across in our study, but I want to reiterate it, we will be witnesses to the universe in sharing how God and what He did in our lives on this earth. We will be superstars to the universe. We'll have the privilege of going out through the universe and sitting down and conversing and asking, and they'll talk to us about what was it like and how did God work. What a wonderful thing that we will have. And again, a book of hope. Let's go to chapter 22. In chapter 22, which we did last week, hopefully you remember there was a dialogue. John talks and then Christ talks. Does anybody remember what the key phrase of chapter 22 is? Pardon? I am coming. Three times. I am coming. That's good news. No matter what, hang on. I am coming. Three times. Last chapter. Verse. And of course, John ends it up with, yes, Lord, amen, come. In fact, the verse 20 says, He who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And John says, amen, come Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus be with us, with God's people. Amen. The book starts out with the revelation of Christ. Talks about a lot of things. Lots of contrast. But it ends up, I am coming, I am coming, I am coming. Remember, when He comes, there are going to be some that love it and some what?
Scared to death.
Scared to death. What makes the difference?
I think we've grown, or through the years, have almost dreaded the coming of Christ. Over and over. This is a story on my oldest son. In 1960, he was turning seven, right around the time the presidential campaign. And my brother-in-law, who is a minister, missionary, was here on furlough, and he was staying with us in our home and so on. And President Kennedy was elected, and he was, oh my, we just chose that we're closer to the time when Jesus is going to come. And my seven-year-old said, what? You mean because Kennedy's president, Jesus is going to come sooner? Well, how come we've all been for Nixon?
That is precious. That's precious. Do you see how that's a perfect example? There are some people who think this last election is going to bring us to the time of the end. Do you see how we've always focused on something that's going to bring something that's going to happen, and the focus of the book is on Jesus Christ? The devil, in my estimation, has done a tremendous job of getting us unfocused on this book. Beasts, certainly there. Mark, certainly there. We spend more time trying to figure out what the mark of the beast and how it fits and what 666 is and who are the 144,000, where Armageddon is, instead of looking at the book and saying, this is full of good news. This is about Jesus Christ who loves you. So my question this evening is, if we were going to sit down and do a syllabus, what would we do different?
Well, I think you have to put the negative things in there because Absolutely. They were going through such negative times and they needed to know that God was still with them and that He was going to come quickly and that He would be with them and there would be a wonderful heaven prepared for them.
Mm-hmm. The Bible's always full of negative. I mean, Christ came along and always, you know, He says, hey, there's a judgment coming. And on this side is going to be the sheep, and on this little side is going to be the little goats. So you see, the contrast is always there. But which do we tend to emphasize the greater? The bad or the good? Let's take judgment. How many of you look forward to the judgment? See, our... Pardon?
I think as I used to understand it, I didn't look forward to it at all. But I think I'm greatly relieved to see that that God's children never come under judgment. They're not judged.
Well, we don't like judgment because it's a connotation of retribution.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Think what we've done. Did you want to say something, Terrence? You got cut off. Oh, okay. You go. Let me tell you what my concept of judgment in 1962, maybe 61, wherever it was, a youth congress in Dallas. I think it's 1960 or 61. See? Well, we all went to, there's four or five of us, nice little boys from Keene, and we all went to youth congress. Well, we got mixed up. And we ended up at the Carousel Club of Jack Ruby's. Before this, you know, that's why 60 is important, is 63. Yeah, see? And my good friend, who will remain nameless, Dick Siebenlist, used to be with the Heritage Singers, he says, I'm scared to death. What if God comes across my name in the judgment and I'm here at the Carousel Club? You see, because we were taught, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We were taught that God comes across the living, and when He comes to your name, whatever your circumstances are, that's it. Am I incorrect? See? So he's sitting there in the carousel. Didn't cross my mind, wished it had perhaps, but it did his, see? Well, now, why in the world would one look forward to, quote, the judgment? And so we take Revelation. The hour of His judgment is coming. Which interpreted means what?
Behave yourself.
You better get your junk together. Is that correct? Well, how can that be good news?
Isn't that what they did on the Day of Atonement? Jewish system?
You have last week's tape? Send it to me. That'll answer that question. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We have...
The hour of our vindication has come.
You ever... No, I don't want to say... You're a doctor? You... bound to study for a test somewhere along the way.
I looked at the pictures and read the black bold captions.
See?
Man,
all these people are now that nobody ever told me any of this. Okay. When you were prepared for a test, did you mind taking the test?
No.
No. If you know God, what do you have to fear?
I think you have to have the right perception of God.
Absolutely. I appreciate you bringing out the concept of God is one who's sitting over here watching and see what you do and writing down in a book when you do something very naughty. That's why we were taught went to pray is, you know, dear God, please forgive our sins and what?
The ones I can't think about.
And the ones I can't remember. Right? Now, many have prayed that prayer.
But it's in the Bible. The Jews gave sacrifices for their unknown sins.
Unwilling sin, not unknown sin. I can't imagine anybody sinning unwillingly. I don't understand how that works at all. I've always been real willing.
That's right. And the Jews had the Day of Atonement, and they had all of these sacrifices. And what did God tell them many times in the Old Testament? I don't want them. Hate them. Can't stand the stench that comes up from them. I want your what? Heart. He's never changed. The sanctuary service was given when? When the children of Israel said, we want nothing more to do with you. Don't want to talk to you. We want Moses to talk to you. And God come along and said, I don't want that. So let me build a sanctuary so at least you'll know where I'm at. The sanctuary was, and I'm not demising the sanctuary, sounds like it, but please not. If the sanctuary was all that important, why didn't he give it to him when he walked out of Egypt and said, now here's what's going on? No. He said, I'll lead you by fire and a cloud. And the happiest time God was with his people, he said, bring them all to a mountain and I'll sit and I'll talk to them. It was man that kept separating. It was man who said, I want nothing to do. And so we come and we take the judgment and say, better live up to it or else. So how would we revise this book if we were going to?
If it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'd have a difficult time even attempting to revise it.
And what would be the hindrance? Pardon? If we took this book and made it Christ-centered, which I think is the only thing to do with the book of Revelation, and we had our 22 lessons on Christ-centered character of God. This is where God's revealing. This is how God loves us. This is how God cares. What would we be taking away that we feel like would be a endangerment?
Fear.
Fear is one of them, absolutely. What else?
Uncertainty.
Okay. What else? Don't think so. No, I appreciate that. No, I think consequence is a big part of the character of God. I think God's worked very hard to say, if you leave me, if you separate yourself from me, this is what's going to happen. I think God has shown that He owes it to tell us that. What else would we lose?
Retribution.
retribution, wasn't it? Why do we like our interpretation, we being collectively, like our interpretation of Revelation? What does it prove? Right about what? That's exactly right. We're right about what?
About the rules.
Right.
We've got the whole truth. Nothing but.
We have the truth. And if you don't keep the right day, what happens?
Following the beast.
Follow the beast. And what mark do you get? Mark of the beast. You see, that is the center of the book of Revelation. And where does Christ fit into this?
Yes.
What a difference it would make if we had the book exactly what it's supposed to do, reveal Christ. And as people went through the series, they came out with the only important message, I feel, that makes a difference in a person's life, is God loves you, He cares for you, and He does everything in His power to draw you to Him so that you can spend eternity. If you choose to go a different direction, He certainly will honor that, because that's the way He is. But if you choose to go to that direction, then this is what will happen there.
It really is a loving God, isn't it? It honors us.
Absolutely.
You're giving us free choice.
Absolutely. The theme of the Bible through the 66 has got to be the same. Comments? Got 3 minutes.
The thing that was most important to me is realizing the urgency and the immediacy of the messages that the people in Revelation received. It was for them at that time that they received it. And it has been for many down through the ages the very same message. The time of trouble when the Jews were kicked out of Jerusalem, out of Judea. Whatever happens to the head, who of course is Christ, happens to the body, and that's us.
Yeah.
And I was reading again in the last 2 weeks in Hebrews. And now when I read Hebrews, I see it so much more relevant, because the message given to Hebrews was given to them at that time.
Right.
And again to us.
We look for the principles. The principles never change. But to take and, you know, 1960, we thought it was the end of the world. My goodness, a Catholic's going to become president. Now we see how the Sunday laws are all going to come together, and time is going to be end. And here we are, almost 50 years later. Now the time of the end is going to come now. See, it's not that. It's that relationship with Christ. That's the thing we must look for. Yes, I saw a hand. No? Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
I think we forget that we don't know the time or the hour, but it's a promise that He'll watch us and take care of us.
Absolutely.
Watch over us.
Absolutely.
If we trust Him.
See, that's the good news. When you're down in the valley, I won't forget you. And we know the ending. Whatever we go through in this world, God Himself will come, put His arm around us, and wipe those tears of sorrow. How can we not present that message to a world that is dying and looking for hope? And we come along and just add guilt. Father in heaven, may this book become a new book as we read it and reread it And please help us to understand, you set the premise in the very first words, a revelation of Jesus Christ. You came to this earth so that we may know the Father. And help us as we look again and again through this book to help people understand it's a book of love, a book of consequences should a person choose not to receive that love. But may our prayer be as John was 2,000 years ago. Come quickly, Lord. We want to go home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.